Man, glory to God. Let's start. This is a good place to start. Hey, man, I'm going to be reading much more scriptures. Maybe keep your Bibles handy. I may need a couple help me here tonight. 1 Timothy 6:6. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. But a godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen.
Yes.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Tommy, you can be seated. While they're being seated, give me Philippians 4:11. Amen. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we'll need a few of these here in a minute. Brother Anthony, while you got your Bible open, go ahead and get me Matthew 5:14. We'll get that in a few minutes. Amen. Matthew 5:14. Hallelujah. But I mentioned about needs. Amen. We need confidence in God. Yes. We need confidence in one another. Yes. We need confidence. Amen. In us, that by God's help and by the strength of God,
right,
I can make it. Amen. And so that's where I dealt most of my time the last time I dealt with this topic. But so to start with tonight, amen, if we've ever seen an age, an hour, amen, where we need contentment, it's today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo, my.
Yes.
Amen. It's a spiritual need of the church. Did you hear that?
Right.
I said it's a spiritual need. Have you ever seen such an hour where people are so incontent?
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
It takes a lot to make folks happy today. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Woo, amen. I like that story old Brother Philip told about that old hateful husband. He was so hard to please, he told his wife he wanted 2 eggs. Amen. Said he wanted 1 boiled and 1 scrambled. Amen. And she fixed them eggs just like he said and brought it in. He got so mad, I think he turned the plate over. And she said, "What's wrong, honey? I did it just like you asked me." Amen. He said, "You boiled the wrong egg." Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, some people you can't make happy. Amen. Some people just aren't content. I don't care if they had a chicken and laid golden eggs. Amen. They just wouldn't be content. Amen. Hallelujah. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Really and truly, no man has contentment without godliness. Amen. And just right off, I won't mention names. There's one or two here tonight. Amen. And many others that I can think of across my walk and experience with the Lord of the past 25 plus years. Amen. People I can see, and when you look at them, you can see a content person who loves the Lord. Amen. And when you look at that person, you know that they love God, and that's really all that matters. Amen. Let me tell you something. The godlier you get, and the more of God that you get in you, the more content you'll be. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Amen. Oh, yes. There's nothing much worse. And I understand children. I understand kids. Sister Anna, like Weston, for instance. Amen. I mean, you buy him one dinosaur, he wants another. Amen. I mean, he really has a problem. Hallelujah. You know what he told Michelle the other night? Said he had a dream. Amen. And he said, "You know what I dreamed of, Mom?" And she said, "What's that?" He said, "I dreamed that I had a toy machine." And he said, "Every day that toy machine spit out new toys." Amen. Thank God. I tell you, I never had such a dream in all my life. But he likes toys so much, he dreaming of a machine. Amen. That'll spit out a toy every day. Amen. But that's the way kids are. But that's expected of kids. That's expected of kids. You give them one toy, they want another one. Amen. You give them something else. Weston Hudson in the house the other day, I'll be honest with you, that sometimes when you're tired, you're more irritable. Amen. And one of them played with the other's toy, and he wanted that one's toy, and Weston come to me and said, "Hudson won't give me this." Hudson come to me and said, "Weston won't give me that." And I said, "Well, go get me the," we call it the flimsy ruler. I don't know if we should record this or not. Amen. I said, "Go get me the flimsy ruler." We got an old ruler in the house that's got a good flimsy to it. I said, "Go get me that flimsy ruler, Weston." I said, "I'm going to whip Hudson, and I'm going to whip you. Amen. You know why? Because you want what he's got and he wants what. That's what kids act. Amen. Thank God in heaven. And it's a problem when that carries on into adulthood. We can't never be pleased. We can't never be happy with nothing. Amen. Hey, God. I said the Lord can give us, amen, all that our hearts desire for. Some people say, if I could just get that house. Amen. Got their mindset on it. If I could just get that, I'd be so happy. No, no, you won't. That won't make it just add to your misery. Amen. If I could just get such and such a car, I'd be so happy. I'd be so content. Oh, yes. Amen. I tell you how long that would last. That would last as long as the new smell lasts. Amen. Then you'd be so, but you don't understand. Things of this world cannot make us content. Yes, they might make you happy for a week or two, but if you really want to get content, get soul saved, get very saved, fall in love with the Lord. Hey, I'm just wondering today if some of us hadn't really, amen, forgot what it's like to be in love. Hey, come on. Amen. When you're in love with someone, all you care about, you don't care about making money. Oh, no. You don't care about driving a car. Oh, no. You just want to be in the presence of that person you're in love with. Hey, ask yourself, when's the last time you really loved the Lord? Ask yourself, when's the last time I really loved you, Lord? I feel like some of us have fell out of love with God. I feel like maybe when you had that yearning in your heart, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. There was a time you was glad when it was church time. But I wonder how many of you tonight said, oh me, oh my, ain't gonna be nobody out there. Ain't gonna be many show up. I tell your problem, you're falling out of love. I tell your problem, you're falling out of love with God. Because I gotta come preach to 10 or to 100. And I treat it like that every time I get in this pulpit. Fall in love with the Lord. And you'll love being here if there's 10, if there's 50, or if there's 100. Fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Woo!
Yes, Lord.
I got a picture.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless him, Lord.
Amen. Contentment.
Bless him, Lord.
That's the problem, Sister Dottie. We're so unhappy and we're so incontent that nothing makes us happy.
Right. Right. God has
you.
Bless him, Lord.
What even was that rain so hard?
How did it even rain so hard?
I got in from mowing and the kids wanted to go swim. I hadn't taken them over to Charlie's pool. He's an old man I mow for. He's got a big deer there. I pulled his backyard just right down through in the house. So it's close. The kids will all pile up in the back of the truck. And I'll take them over to Charlie's pool. And they loved jumping off a diving board. But anyway, they're soaking wet. They were soaking wet. Just got out of the pool. I seen the rain coming. I said, get in the back of the truck, kids. I ain't getting wet for you. Amen. And so they hopped in the back of the truck. They're soaking wet. We're riding down the road to back toward the house. I mean, it come a gully washer. It rained and it got old Hudson wet and he got so mad. He said, it's raining on me. He mad, Brother George. I'm getting wet. I said, no, you ain't getting wet. You are wet. Amen. That's the way adults are in church. Amen. I'm getting wet. Oh, no, you're already wet. You just want something to stay. Some people, they be so, amen, out of ordinary. And then amen, complain and get unsatisfied. That's what makes them feel normal, being unsatisfied. Why don't you throw your hand up and say, God, I want to be content. I'm tired of griping. I'm tired of complaining. I'm tired of getting upset over everything. I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm just glad that I love the Lord. I'm just glad that I got you living in my heart. I'm just glad that I got heaven to go to one of these days. Hey, I come to tell you, get content, love the Lord, love the things of God, and let everything else, amen, go somewhere under the bridge.
Yes, yes.
Woo! But try to get us that one you had. What was it, Philippians 4 and 11?
Yeah. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want.
Oh, this is great right here. Not that I speak in respect of want.
For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content.
Amen. This is the whole message in itself. I don't have time to preach this tonight. But that's a key word right there. I don't know, some mark the Bible, some don't. I do. If you don't judge me. I like marking.
Yeah.
Amen. But you need to circle that word, learn. Paul said, for I have learned. You know, to be content is something you got to work at. It's something you got to learn how to do. Woo! Amen. I got a story I read some time ago. You probably read it. Amen. That old poor fella had a guy come by. Amen. He didn't have running electric. He didn't hardly have nothing. But an old stranger was passing by and he offered him his barn outside. And he said, you're welcome to sleep out there. We'll make you a bed of hay. And you can sleep out there. And he said, if there's anything you need, listen to this. If there's anything you need, he said, come knock on the door and I'll come out and show you how to do without it. Woo! Did you get that? If there's anything you need, come knock on the door and I'll come and learn you how to do without it. Amen. It do us some good to learn to do without it. Amen. Learn to do without getting our way. Learn to do without being childish. Learn to do without having everything handed and given to me. Great God, it do you some good to be content. Amen.
Yes. Thank you, my
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Say amen or amen.
Yes, Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Woo! We owe it to God to be content.
Right.
There's nothing worse as a parent to do everything you know for a child and then still be unhappy.
Right.
That's the worst thing in the world.
Yes.
Amen.
What more can I do for you? And I feel like God is saying the same. What more can I do for you? I've saved you.
Yeah, right.
I've set you free from the weight that sin had on you. Glory to God. Look at all. What else can I do for you? Amen. Oh, don't get to that place. I said, don't get to that place. Amen. Oh, it hurts a natural father when he sees that everything he does is not enough for his family. Yet God gives us everything, and we go grumbling and wondering. Amen. Oh, yes. And wounding rather God, dishonoring him. But why should the children, amen, of a king go mourning? Why should we be unhappy? Hey, God, my father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I think I own at least one. Glory to God. Amen. Now there's a difference of being content and being satisfied. Glory to God. Amen. I've got to be content with God and my faith in God. But I like what that artist said, Michelangelo or Leonardo, one of them great artists of years and gone by. They asked him, they said, which masterpiece do you think is the best one that you ever completed? Amen. Looking at all the masterpieces that they had made, which one do you think is your best? And I like the reply of that artist. He said, I think it's my next one. Amen. I think my next one will be the best one I ever made. Oh, glory. Amen. You know what that is? Amen. That's with not being satisfied with where I am. I believe, church, there's a higher ground we can get to. I believe, church, brother, sister, there's a, amen, deeper prayer life that you can get to. I believe, brother, sister, and there's a deeper experience with God and a crave and a yearn for the word of God that you can get to. So when somebody says, why do you live like you live? You won't have to say, because that old spitting preacher, amen, tells me that's what. Oh no, but you'll be able to say, here's what the word of God says. You'll love it. I said, you'll love it. You'll be content with the Lord in your heart. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
We owe it to God to be content for what he's done for us.
Praise God.
That's kind of like us, Brother Anthony. showing up for work. And they say, well, you sit down, you know how it is when you get a job. You sit down, you discuss how much they're going to pay you. You discuss benefits.
Yeah.
You discuss how many days a year off maybe you get sick, if you're sick. Maybe a vacation week or two.
Yeah.
You sit around and discuss all that. And then you get your first payday. I'm trying to think. Brother Randy. Brother Raymond Brown. Remember his son come one night?
Yeah.
And he said he got his first paycheck from that schoolhouse. And he said, I thought, uh-oh. Hey, man, it wasn't as good as he thought. Hey, I believe he probably thought, I better go back and negotiate a little more. Hey, amen. I better go back and negotiate. Woo! Hey, man, what do you think your job would do if you got your payday and you went back and told the boss and the boss went back and told the owner? Amen. Said Anthony, we can use him. Anthony said he ain't getting paid enough. Amen. We work him too hard. We require too much of him. He ain't getting paid enough. Hey, God. Amen. One of two things. You have to sit back at the drawing board and say, well, what do you think we're going to have to do to make you happy? Or he'd have to say, amen, I'm doing what I can, like it, or find something better. There's the door, pal. Come on. Amen. I believe God is at the drawing board with some of us. Look at what he's done. Look at the benefits he's gave. Look at the sin he has abolished from our life. But yet we keep griping and complaining, and we're not content with what God has done in our life.
Amen.
Woo! So we owe it to God to be content.
Yes, God.
Blessed Lord, I praise you.
All right, let me tell you this before I move on. If you can't be content with God and with what God has done for you, you're going to live a miserable life.
That's the truth.
That's right.
Yep.
Blessed Lord.
They'll just never be happy because nothing's never going to make them
right. Glory, glory, glory.
Oh, God.
The Lord.
Woo! You owe it to God to be content because God's done a lot for you.
Amen. Yes, yes.
That's right.
We owe it to ourselves to be content. We'll be happier. We'll live longer. We'll serve God better if we practice the art of contentment. Mm-hmm. You owe it to yourself.
Lord,
you keep yourself worked up, you will cut years off your life. Woo!
Yeah,
that's right.
You grumble and cry and complain all the time, you're going to have a stroke. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a heart attack. Sugar diabetes, all these things are directly related to stress.
Yeah, they are.
Woo! I feel like we stress a lot of times when we don't have a need of that.
Amen. You're right.
Amen. Yes. Why can't we just learn to trust the Lord?
Jesus. Oh. The name of the Lord.
You didn't know you'd get this on Thursday night, did you? Amen. And we owe it to others to be content.
Right.
Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Amen. How can you shine a light? You're always unhappy.
Right.
All right, let's just say, Brother George, it's easy to get turned around, get in the woods somewhere, and get turned around. Say you got turned around, and maybe somebody way off and away, way up high, they look down, they see you lost, and they say, hey, buddy, shine my light, and I'm going to guide you out here. Well, once you follow that light, you can get out. But if he turns the light out, you can't find your way up. And how is this lost sinner world going to find their way out of darkness
right.
if the light is turned out?
Oh, amen.
Oh, God.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said, who's the light of the world? Ye are the light of the world.
Right.
What kind of light are you shining?
Jesus.
I said, what kind of light are you shining? Amen. Who's looking at your life and getting encouraged or discouraged?
Amen. You're right, brother. Come on.
Jesus.
Getting close, then.
Amen.
Who have you hindered or helped on this walk?
Right.
Amen.
Blessed be God.
We enter in darkness, despair, sin. If we let the light of our Christian contentment shine, it will give them hope. Great God, we're the last stand of the world today. We're the last light shining, the church is.
Right.
And we need to help somebody make it safely home, don't we?
Amen.
So much more I could say on this, Brother Anthony. Get me Matthew. Amen. 5:14. We got to move on here.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Woo! I want to be a light for Jesus, don't you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. I feel like it's important. Let's raise a hand towards heaven right now.
Lord,
ask the Lord to help us to be the light that He intended us to be. Lord, you see us, God. We don't want to let the light go out. Oh, God, it's a dark hour, amen. And if there's any light, help the church to be the light. Help us, God, to shine the light as you have commanded us, amen. I got to move on here. The next thing that I feel like we need a spiritual, great spiritual need of the church, great spiritual need of any church, great spiritual need of this church, amen. We need operation. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Woo. Or you could put that together in cooperation. Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. He cooperates, oh yes, with other Christians and gets along. You know, some people can't even get along with their fellow man or woman or sister. You can't be of no good to the kingdom of God like that.
Right.
I heard Brother Shoecraft, and I never would have thought it. But I heard Brother Shoecraft preach another day, and he said he had a little bad ox in his heart against a brother, and he showed up down there in Allentown one year, and there's some beef between him and a brother. And I never would have thought this. Amen. And he said he knew it wasn't right, and he knew he shouldn't have that in there in his heart. Great God. And the Lord came down miraculously in that service, and the Holy Ghost fell, and that brother's heart was smote, and he said his heart was smote, and they met, I can't remember, amen, somewhere, and they shook hands, and tears ran down their face, and they hugged necks and said, I love you, amen. Glory to God. I come to tell you, church, this is a cooperation, amen.
Right.
We're together in this thing, and if you can't get along with the people, amen, of God, I'm questioning. I'm wondering if you're going to get to heaven one day. Oh, Jesus said, if you can't love your brother who you have seen, how you going to love them that you have not seen? Great God, I've never seen such an hour. Amen. Well, we can't get along. Amen. I said, we can't get along. I was thinking, Brother Tommy, I know you worked in a steel mill. I've never been in a steel mill per se. I've got an idea how it works. But I was up there that time we went to help make Bibles up there in Ohio. And it was a pretty neat operation, Brother Earl. They had great big old rolls of paper in there, Brother George. Looked like giant rolls of toilet paper. And it's about this high. Hey, amen. You probably couldn't take about two people, wrap your arms around. And they had a machine that they put that paper on a big roller. And that machine would roll it out, Brother Anthony. And they had a belt line. It hit the belt line. And the belt line would take that paper and run it down through there. And they had plates, amen, with the Bible engraved in it. And it stamped that paper. Stamped that. It had about four or five big giant machines in a building bigger than this church rolling it out. It took about four or five, six machines. But you know, the end result was a little Bible, Brother Tommy. Amen. Took a great big huge machine to produce the same product, a Bible. Amen. I thought about I work for Chuck and M's business up there, and we go by West Virginia Steel when I'm getting out of there all the time. Amen. And I've never been in there, Brother Tommy. I'm sure I've seen the process. But they got them huge buildings and they got them huge machines. And I've heard JR and different ones talk about the lathes and all the things. And they melt it down and they heat it up. And then they got to cool it down. All the different machines and processes. But you know, at the end of the day, what comes out there? Amen. Finally, an old truck will back in. And they'll take a crane and they'll load him up with beams of metal. Amen. And the metal finally comes out of there. It took a lot of machines to make one product. And I come to tell us, amen, amen, you might not think you're important, but it takes every one of us to make a church. Come on, you don't think it is. Amen. Just one person can be us. And you'll feel the absence of that one person. I don't care if they're a musician. I don't care if it's the preacher. I don't care if it's the prayer warrior on the seat. You miss a night or two. Amen. Great God, it is affecting the product. we're supposed to. I come to tell us we're working together with Jesus. I said we're working together for one product, to build a glorious church. I said to build a glorious church. We're working together in the service of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Who's got a Bible? Amen. But George, give me 1 Corinthians 4:9. Woo, this is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. All those talents go together. Amen. One member, amen, can do one thing well, and another member do another thing well. I told my girl I was bragging on her good last night. Some of you husbands, and I ain't doing this for brownie points. I feel like sometimes we take, amen, things for granted. And I really don't know how she does it. Keeps the laundry up for 7 of us, Brother Anthony. If we all just wear one outfit a day, that's 7 changes of garments, amen. Hey, that's a lot of shirts and pants and skirts and everything else. You get to drip. Glory to God. And I said, amen, you're a lot better at doing laundry than I am, amen. I better stick to getting yards cut. Woo! That's what I'm good at. Hey, God. Oh, everybody's got a different talent. One can sing. I can't make a tune in a placket, Brother Anthony. But we get up here, we can make a joyful, amen, sound together. One can sing. One can get up here and get the stringing on a string and make a joyful. One can get over there. Hey! 2 or 3 can get out there, amen, and open up. One can grab a tambourine. And by the time you get it all said and done, we're a church that's in an act of worship of a holy God. I come to tell us we need cooperation. We need to get together in the worship of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
My.
Holy, holy.
All right. You. Before Chris, down there at Kurtz, Brother Chris Dax, put a motor in that truck of mine, Brother George, it had a bad oil leak, Brother Tommy. I felt like that motor would have still ran. They had well about 230,000 on. And most Chevy motors, they run forever. But that thing got an oil leak in it, Sister Dottie. And Gary's vehicle tore up last year. So I let him take it home back and forth every day. Or I was going to have to go back and get him. So I said, Gary, take it home. But I went and bought a big jug of oil. I said, keep the oil checked in that thing. He brought it in my house one morning. We was going to get loaded up, and I heard them lifters ticking. Tick, 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 tick. I said, Gary, when's the last time you checked the oil? And his mouth kind of dropped. He said, I kind of forgot. I said, I bought the oil. I did. I made the provisions for you. All you had to do is pull the dipstick up. You can't do that. Amen. Woo! We pull the dipstick up, Brother Tommy. You can't even see a drop of oil on that stick. I poured a quart in. Poured 2 quarts in. We had to pour 3 quarts in, Brother Anthony, before he could see it on the stick. Amen. Great God. You know what he did? He burnt the cam out. Amen. And locked up a lifter and 1 or 2 cylinders in that motor. Hey, Brother Tommy, that motor still ran. I can still run it. I asked 2 or 3 of them, but it's winter time. If I was going to get it fixed, I sure didn't want to tear up in the middle of summer. They said, run it, amen. It'll run to us if it finally locks up, amen. But it was winter time, so I elected to get it fixed so I could use it through the summer, amen. But anyway, I tell you, Brother George, has 8 cylinders in that motor. 1 or 2 of them was, amen, the lifters was locked up in it, amen. Great God. And you could tell a big difference, amen. It's all right, as long as it's moving. But when you stop at a red light,
yeah.
Hey, and sometimes you can get by, but there'll come a time, you know, when all the cylinders ain't clicking. And I come to tell us, hey, you're important, and it takes every cylinder clicking, amen, to get this thing accomplished. God wants us to be content. God wants us to get along. God wants us to cooperate and do His work.
Amen.
Woo! Woo!
Yes.
I gotta move on here. I'll never get done.
Oh,
amen. The Bible said that we are laborers together right. With God.
Man.
Woo! Amen. Hey, God in heaven. I said, we are laborers together with God.
Right.
Amen. Here is a wonderful picture with you on one side of the load and God on the other side. Hey, get ready. Amen. This will help you right here. You say, I can't do it. Amen. I don't know what it is that you strove to try to do. I can't do it. It seems like the harder I try, the worse I'm doing. Amen. The Bible said that we are laborers together with God.
Yeah.
I've got to hold of one side of the load, Brother Tommy, and he's got a hold of the other side. I know I can't do it, but I know as long as he's doing it with me, it's going to get done, because he's stronger than I. He's greater than I. He's able. Amen. Here today.
Yes.
Woo.
Three and nine, great.
Three and nine. Read it for us, Brother George. I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
But we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building.
Woo! For we are laborers together with God.
Yes.
We're his husbandry and his building. We are the work of God.
Right.
And the work of God gets done by people just like
right.
you.
Right.
Men and women that get a burden on their heart, like Mike Metzger, who didn't know a thing about God. Hey, I thought he said his parents were divorced. He never had a home life. Never had much of a dad figure. But he got saved. I said he got saved. Went off to Bible school and a holiness school. Didn't know nothing about holiness. But he said, Lord, this one thing I want to do. I want to labor for you, God. And when God got a hold of one side and Mike Metzger got a hold of the other, he became a holiness preacher instead of the work of God. I come to tell us, church, if God works with us, who can be against us? If God be for us, and if God's on my side, look out, devil, you don't have a chance. If God is on my side.
Yeah, bless the God.
Yes. We are laborers together with God.
Amen.
I love that. Yeah. It don't say for God.
No.
Right. We work for God. But we're laboring with God.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
That's right.
I tell a lot of people, Kathy's brother Tim, and I know some of you have been around a lot of strong guys. He's one of the strongest fellows I've ever been around. Brother George, I have to move a little bit. I don't like that moving.
No.
I don't like that moving. Plus, nowadays, if you notice, I got a draft neck. Everybody laughs at me. When I'm skinnier, you can see it real bad. I got a neck about 6 to 8 inches long. Amen. And now my neck hurts. And I can't lift that heavy stuff. I'm down in the neck. A lot of people get down in the back, I'm down in the neck. And I got to walk around like a mummy. Can't turn my head. But old Tim got a hold of that piano, Brother Earl. How tall is Tim? I don't know. He's about 5'5", 5'6". Short little fella. Yep. But he's like an ox.
Yep.
He got a hold of that piano, went into that piano. And that's all me and Charlie could do to get our end. We strained him, but Tommy, I looked over at Tim, and I thought he was about to grab one hand just so as he could. Woo! He wasn't straining. He wasn't sweating. Amen. Great God. So you know what that did for me? Brother Charlie, you got to testify for him. But you know what that did for me? I thought, wow, if Tim can grab it, I can. Amen. If I got Tim on my side, we're going to get this piano out of here. Hey, I don't know why we don't think we can do the work of God whenever he's with us.
Amen.
He's right there on the job. He's going to be able to get the job completed.
Yes.
Amen.
I got a move on here. I've already made two out of this. I don't want to make a third.
Come on.
Lastly, this is another sermon in itself. Is there ever an hour when we need courage?
True.
Yes.
We too should find courage. Amen. As we remember that Jesus will never leave us.
Thank God.
He will never forsake us.
Thank you.
Hugh Walpole said, isn't life that matter? That matters is the courage. Amen. Great God in heaven, we need courage, don't we, church?
Yes.
Yep.
Amen. It's the courage that we live life with. Somebody else said the chief thing in life is a stiff backbone. You ever seen such an hour? And I'm done here. I ain't going to worry you. You ever seen such an hour where people ain't got a backbone? Nobody stands for nothing.
Right. You're right, brother. Come on.
I never saw this till recently, really. But you know what? Nobody has an opinion because our opinion's already preformed for us on talk radio, television,
right.
News stations. They form our opinions.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Yep.
2% of the population in the United States of America is gay, LGBTQ. Amen. Gay, lesbian community. 2% of the population. Very, very small number of people are gay and lesbian. But that 2% of the population pushes 90 or more percent of this country.
True.
Why? Because our attitudes and opinions are already preformed for us by all the air radios, television radios, all these news stations. They already preform our ideas for us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Come on.
You're right. Yep.
They publish posts and all that stuff, and they say, hey, I'm not a homosexual. I'm not a lesbian. Well, will you stand against it? Oh, no, I ain't going to stand against it. Why? Because our attitudes are already preformed for us. It's already biased for us.
Yeah.
I'm not going to oppose it. I'm not that way, but I'm not going to stand against it.
Bless him, Lord.
Well, Paul stood against some things, didn't he?
Right.
Jesus stood against some things, didn't he?
Right. Amen.
We live in an hour, amen, where people don't want to go against the mainstream.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Come on.
Right.
Preaching to us here tonight.
So true.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Our attitudes and our thoughts are already preformed for us.
Yep.
In this, I'm just now seeing this. Amen. We're trained how to think in this country.
Yep. Yep.
Right. Bless him, Lord.
I wish I could find that article. I listened to. Get on holinesspreaching.com and go for where it says sermons and go down to Lloyd Shoecraft. One of the first ones on there is why I do not have a television. You're to listen to the reasons. And he reads from Senator Byrd, I think it is, Rockefeller, one of the main senators, and he reads what he said in the 60s.
Wow.
All the way back in the 60s, he said, I see it coming. Hey, man, that people's thoughts and minds will be persuaded. He said, this is the greatest tool of persuasion that I've ever seen in the history of time.
Right.
He said, we've never seen persuasion like it is today. And it's got even stronger today with the internet and all the pictures and things and all that stuff that's pushing and forcing the way we think.
Amen.
Right.
Come on.
Woo.
It's the truth, bro.
Pushes how we think, Brother Tommy.
Glory be to God.
If there's ever a time we need courage to stand up against the mainstream, it's today.
Amen.
People don't have a backbone.
Right.
People are not willing to stand up against the mainstream. we're already programmed to what we're going to push and back them.
That's right.
Go for it.
That's the truth.
Oh, I'm not a homosexual, but it ain't bothering me. I'm not going to fight against it until now it's shoved down our throats.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
If you work a job and it creates some type of opposition with that set of people and you don't bend a mouth for them.
That's right.
You're in trouble.
Right.
Well, if we'd have stood against that 15 years ago, we wouldn't be here.
Right. Right.
People won't stand against sin.
That's right. Right. Amen, brother.
Wow.
Glory be to God. That's the truth.
My Lord. What I thought I was getting into here tonight. We need courage.
Right.
Amen. To bear bravely. to stand against the unpopular in this day. But we must stand up for the Christian convictions, even if the sky falls.
That's right.
Are you willing to stand up for Christian convictions? Mm-hmm. It's easy. It's harder for a man. Lord willing, coming down the pike, get ready. I'm going to start doing some teachings. I tell Brother Earl, I'm going to start doing some teachings on why holiness is right.
Well, that's simple.
Amen. It's a lot harder on women than it is men, and I can give you the Bible. Here's where I've always been. If you're going to preach something wrong and you're going to preach something that's sin, you better have the Bible to back you up.
Right.
I'm going to get into some of this Sunday unless the Lord changes my mind. Amen. But a lot of people get a lot of ideas in their mind and they say, well, we do this because Granny did it. Papa did that. Mama did that. Well, isn't it in the Word of God?
That's right.
If you can't back up what you do by this Word right here, you can't preach it as doctrine of the Word of God.
Right.
Amen.
Mama didn't wear red shoes, so I ain't going to wear red shoes. And if you wear red shoes, you're going to go to hell. You better watch what you tell people they're going to go to hell over.
Right.
If it ain't that book right there.
Right.
It's good.
Then you get on the grounds of heresy and being a heretic.
That's right. Bless him, Lord.
True.
Thank God.
Come on, bro.
Woo! Amen. But I said all that to say this, we've got to know God and know God's word. It's easy for men, you know, men can put them on a shirt and a pair of pants and get them a haircut and look pretty good. Women take a lot more remarks from the world, you know. Right. They got to wear dresses and skirts. We're going to get into some of this if God helps in the future. Well, they say, well, we got women's pants.
Come on.
There's no such a thing as women's pants.
No, sir.
You can put the button on the left side, on the right side, or upside down. It don't make a women's pants.
Right. Come on, brother. Come on.
You can put the zipper on the left or on the right. It don't make it a woman's.
Right.
Study history, study culture, study the word of God. Right. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the priests wore breeches.
That's right.
Yeah.
Woo. Come on.
My. Get ready. There's a lot of things coming down the pike. Yes. All right. They say, well, they're women's pants. It's all right. So why on every public restroom in this country?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah.
There's all it is a stick. I can draw a stick.
That's right.
Down. A Y. Okay. There's a man or a woman. So how do they make a difference between a man and a woman? A man standing there with a stick. Mm-hmm. Y at the bottom. Upside down Y, basically.
Yeah.
With a round head on the top. So what do they do? Okay, that's a man's bathroom.
Come on.
Well, it's a woman's bathroom.
Uh-huh. That's right. Come on.
The world knows when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got an upside down with a head on the top and upside down. But it's got a triangle. She's got a skirt on.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I don't have time to get into all this. But Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, it didn't matter what denomination, brother, until the 60s, where everybody wore skirts.
Right.
It really, about the 40s and 50s, it started becoming more popular when the flappers come in.
Yeah.
And the men went off to war, and the flappers, which was the women, had to go out and keep America running. They had to work the factories, so they start putting on. And great God in heaven, I'm getting too far ahead of them. It was called bloomers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! That's where boomers come from.
Right.
Hallelujah. Lord, help us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Give us courage, God, to be able to stand with so much fun of me. You don't understand what I got to put up with at work. I understand. I worked in the public for 12 years. Most of my work years have been self-employed. But I worked in the public for 12 years. I know what it's like to feel the pressures of the workforce. I know what it's like to feel the pressures of those on you. But I tell you what we're lacking in this day. We're lacking courage. We're lacking strength in our mind to be able to stand for God to say, I don't care what the world thinks. I care what God thinks.
That's right.
Woo. Amen. You need to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks and worry about what God thinks.
Amen.
What does God think about this?
Glory to God. Thank
Stand
you.
With me in this house. I probably went on too long here.
Thank you, mighty God.
I know where in the world I'll be able to preach. A little series I've got on my mind here. It'll take weeks.
Blessed is the name.
We need to learn to stand for holiness, church.
Amen.
Holiness is a dying commodity.
Amen.
Brother Ross, I've talked about it several times. I wonder if time stands. I don't look for time to stand 20 years, but you know, 20 years ago, I would have told you the same thing. But in 20 years, I wonder, Brother Tommy, what our holiness churches are going to look like in 20 years.
That's the truth.
Come on.
Right, yeah.
You're right.
20 years ago, I could take you to some people right now that lived a good, holy life, and now they're skirting somewhere along the edges because holiness ain't popular. People don't want to stand. I don't care if it's popular. I don't care who likes it or who don't like it. It don't change God's
mind. That's right.
Don't change the mind of God.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful congregation you've given us here on this Thursday night. God, we're short in number, but we're strong in strength and power and the Spirit of God. Lord, I feel your presence tonight. I felt your presence in the song service. I felt your presence, Lord, in the prayer request part of Lord, I felt your presence all the way through, Lord, all the way up to this now, through the preaching. God, up to this altar call right here, Lord. I pray that you'd give us some people, Lord, that's willing to stand for you in this last day. God, give us some people that's willing to be content. Amen. God, give us some people that's willing to cooperate, get along, Lord, do the work. Give us some people, God, that's got courage. Amen. In this last day. Wouldn't there be one? Wouldn't there be two? There ought to be a whole house full right here tonight that'll get up here in these altars and say, God, I've got to stand. Time's running out. There's not long. There's not much time left. Help me, Lord, to stand for you in this day. Help me, God, to stand for you in this hour.
Oh,